Yeah, that's right. Turn that song down, because it's time for the Bipolar Bear Podcast. Featuring yours truly, Garrett Michael Conklin. Oh, man, that's just a beautiful intro, isn't it? I don't know. Maybe it's not. Maybe it sucks. What do I know? So how you guys doing out there today, man? How's everybody doing? Everybody hanging in there? Keeping it real? Keeping it on the fly? On the cold, fat freeze tip? No? I don't know. I'm pretty old, so I bet you have no idea what I was just saying there. But, you know, some slang from back in the Nizindies. Nope, that's even before that. There was no Nizizzles back in the Nizindies. I'm such a butthead. Anyway, so what's going on? Hopefully you guys are doing good. I'm just kind of chillaxing here over the weekend, just kind of getting some episodes ready to talk about for the week. Because, as you know, if you've been following me at all, I start a real job. No, just kidding. I've had a real job for a while, but I start a job that's not remote. So I got to go into the office, which I don't even want to go down that road because I have very mixed feelings about that whole thing, especially in technology, because it's kind of ridiculous to think that technology can't be done in a remote setting, but you know, whatever, we'll see. First week, got to lay low, got to keep it on the down low, kind of keep it chill. Yeah. So I don't know, man, I've been feeling shitty. I don't know if it's me or if it's stress or anxiety or what, but like the last weekish, kind of feeling like heart palpitations and just, ugh, I don't know, just not being myself, you know, I don't know. I guess I'm not that great with change, and this is a lot of change for me, you know. I mean, I got to physically leave my house. That's always a difficult thing for me to do. I mean, so much so that I'm still interviewing for jobs, just in case going into an office doesn't happen to work out for me. Maybe I should have taken like a week off or something in between just to, have some time to catch my breath and, you know, I don't know. I don't, you know, honestly, that's that kind of stuff. I never feel rejuvenated from that because basically the entire time I'm taking time off, I'm stressing about what it is that I'm taking time off to de-stress about. It's just an interesting thing being me, I gotta say. I guess I'm fortunate, right? It's always something new each and every day. It's never the same thing for me. It's always, although maybe it is. Maybe I just do the same crap every day and try to convince myself that it's not the same thing, but really I'm experiencing the same type of stuff every single day. And yeah, I don't know. I had a good time talking the other day about religion and such, and maybe we should talk a little bit more about that. But before we get into that, quick update. I mentioned that I purchased a car for my eldest daughter on Friday. So we're pretty excited about that. So the 2012 Ford Fusion. So excited about that. It was in great condition. I think I got a good price on it. And I just had to insure it just now because it just dawned on me that my wife takes the title and the registration and the receipt for the sale to the DMV on Tuesday. We will not be able to get plates without having the car already being insured. I'm pretty sure they don't give you plates unless you have a valid insurance card. So had to add it. Didn't add too much to my policy, so no worries. But got full coverage. So yeah, this is real exciting shit, but you know, kind of exciting. I haven't bought a used car in a long time, so I've forgotten all of the hoopla that you had to do on your own when you do that, but that's okay. So yeah, she'll have a car. Hopefully next week it'll be on the road and ready to rock, and she'll have her own car to zip around in, and I still have no car. My car is going to be sitting at the shop till Friday waiting on a stupid part. Oh, God. I mean, it's not the mechanic's fault. Yeah, I mean, technically, it's my fault. I'm the dumbass that backed into something. I mean, had I not done this, none of this would be even a talking point. So, but yeah, I mean, it's just a week to get a part from a local place. That's bullshit. That sucks. Anyway, so it's just sitting there waiting for this undercarriage part, like some part of the inside of the wheel well or something cracked, so they have to replace that. But ay caramba, maricón, you know what I'm saying? It's like seems like it shouldn't take that long to get apart, but I guess because, you know, it was just bad timing. I brought it in Friday. It's a long weekend, holiday weekend here. they're not going to do anything else and move, ship anything until, you know, next week. So I lost theoretically 3 days instead of two, I guess. I don't know, whatever. We'll figure it out, man. That's what we always do over in this side of the town. We kind of just figure it out. And we have so many cars now. I mean, gee whiz. I should be able to make this happen with my daughter driving, my son driving, my wife driving, me driving. That really just leaves our 15-year-old who isn't old enough for a permit just yet, but will be soon. I don't know where I'm going to put five cars in my driveway if everybody's still here all at the same time, but that we'll cross that bridge. I don't know what we're going to do with four. Because like I said the other day, my driveway is only 2.5 cars wide, so you can't get by somebody without driving over the grass if they're behind you. So kind of weird, which I don't really give a crap if somebody drives on the lawn, but it does actually ruin the lawn. If you've not driven on your lawn before, it definitely will ruin it over time. Yeah, so anyway, what did you guys think about, I mean, you know, rhetorical question, of course, about that whole, did anyone watch that video? I mean, I had some interesting stuff. I went and dug around out in my garage for some of the books that I was mentioning, and I have not come upon the tote or the box that they're all in, so it'll require a bit more digging, which I almost guarantee won't happen, so they're out there somewhere. But I probably won't get into that pile anytime soon because I got to move like an enormous amount of shit out of the way first to get at some of the boxes where it's probably buried in the back somewhere, or at least on the bottom, because I know it was very heavy. It was full of giant, these books aren't small, by the way. They're not like little thick Bibles. They're like these huge 8.5 by 11 size, full volume dictionary looking things. They're pretty big. So, they're also pretty heavy. So hopefully they're not rat infested and chewed up or anything like that. Cause we do get mice, not rats, but my cats kill like tons of mice, but they still somehow find their way into the shed and places like that. So they're out there. So hopefully they didn't get into the garage and they have not done anything to these, some of these cool books that I have. Cause they have some really cool ones and some really good quality ones. So I'm a little annoyed that I packed them away and shoved them in the garage, but maybe I'll do that later today if I'm feeling inspired. I'll go dig some more out in the garage. The problem too is I don't know where, like I didn't label anything, so I don't know where it really is. So I literally have to look in everything. Just super annoying. But anyway, that's not your fault. That's my fault. And I don't really have to do it. I just kind of thought I'd go look for them because maybe since I'm on this talking point right now, it might be an interesting thing to kind of peruse. But once again, but I mean, as I was saying in that episode on Freemasonry, I mean, I'm not well versed in that stuff, but I'm not unfamiliar with it either. So really what this guy was saying, although I don't know if he was trying to make a video that would go viral or, you know, I'm not sure what his agenda was there, but nothing that he really said in that video was of any consequence. And it really wasn't any, like, there was no, for me, there was no like epiphanies of like, oh my God. Really? No, it's not possible. It was totally like, yeah, that makes total sense to me. I mean, we've always known, well, I've always known that the people that run the world are the biggest scoundrels and that they don't care about anybody else. So it makes perfect sense that they would use and mirror their religion or whatever their belief system is off of actual nature, because it's just easier on your conscience to think that, yeah, I can kill somebody and it's totally fine and get away with it and not have to deal with living with that kind of feeling and pain and regret because you've convinced yourself that what you're doing is okay, right? If you are guilt-free of something, you don't carry the burden around. So it makes a lot of sense to me whether these people believe it for real or they're just using it as a tool so that they can scapegoat it, you know, and use it as a point of blame. Well, you know, my religion says I can do this, so this is just totally normal. And let's brainwash everybody into thinking that. And, you know, I mean, I can totally see that perspective. Seems a little far-fetched to me to believe that in this day and age, with all of science and all the things that we know, and, you know, arguably, there may be a lot of things I don't know that these people on the inside know, but let's say there isn't. Let's say we all know the same type of stuff, and, you know, the belief systems and physics and all that stuff that we know today is real and true and factual and validated. What in the world are they doing all these dumb rituals for? And I don't mean to be inflammatory and say dumb and be derogatory. I mean, I guess I am by saying it that way, but it seems kind of strange that you'd have to go through these kind of rituals when you know they don't do anything. they don't mean anything. It's just, what is it? Like a show of master versus servant or something? I don't quite understand what the purpose of well, I mean, I guess even in, let's see, so I'm a Catholic, so if I can recall the last time I went to church, there's a lot of structure to a mass, right? To a Catholic mass. I mean, you stand up, you sit down, you kneel, you pray, you sing, you chant, you repeat after the priest, then you go up and you receive the body of Christ as a little unleavened circular Eucharist wafer thing that's symbolic of, you know, taking in the body of Christ. I mean, and really, if you took that literally, that's pretty fucked up. You're supposed to be, you know, eating the body of Christ and drinking the blood of Christ. I mean, they don't serve the wine to everybody, obviously, but I would imagine, I wonder what they're doing now because of COVID and all that stuff. I haven't been to church in a long time, but certainly not through COVID. So I'm wondering if, you know, I mean, I wouldn't necessarily think it would be social distancing to be handed a wafer that you're going to put in your mouth from someone else's potentially infected hand. I guess I didn't think about that. Maybe that's why they've been giving religion such a hard time, because some of the rituals are just, they're not social distance oriented at all. They're in fact the complete opposite of that. So, I mean, even like, you know, there's a part of the Catholic mass where you share peace with everyone and peace be with you, and you shake hands and hug and kiss and stuff like that. And that's probably not appropriate to do right now either. Although, you know, as days go by, we seem to be learning or hearing more and more about this virus, and there's just so much data to weed through with regard to our hospitals full, our people getting sick, and now people that were claimed to have died of COVID, it's now being stated that they died of heart attacks and heart disease and cancer and all this other shit. They just happened to have COVID instead of the other way around. They died of COVID and happened to have cancer. You know, I mean, I don't know why you would believe that narrative anyway. That doesn't even make sense for a moment to think that if somebody has terminal cancer, that they died of COVID-19. I mean, they have terminal cancer. They died of cancer. Fucking idiots. Anyway, that is just so stupid, but I guess that's where we're at. But it makes me really, you know, wonder if like, I'm really conundrum. Word of the day. What are we trying to achieve? Can someone just in simple terms, let me know what the hell is going on here? I mean, I've said this before, but what is the power struggle? The people, you know, the richest people in the world have all the power. What is the struggle? What is missing from your lives that you need more? You know, these people that have hundreds of billions of dollars. I mean, it's literally unfathomable, really, to think about that kind of a number. It's 1,000 million. 1 billion is 1,000 million. That's a lot of money, man. All right, that's a big number. And then 1 trillion is 1,000 billion, and we have people approaching the trillion mark. I mean, it's not even the same ball game. That's like me having $1,000 and you having $1. We're not in the same ball game, man. And that's like, you know, as an example, that's all you have to spend and I have $1,000. I mean, I can just give away all the money you have and not even worry about it. And I think that's where we come into this social disconnect, is there is such disparity across the financial spectrum of people and citizens in this country and probably the world over. But let's just, you know, I'm not going to speak for other countries. I don't know what's going on over there. So that's not, I can only speak for my experience here and being a United States citizen. Somebody that's got a few $100 billion can buy and sell probably 3/4 of the United States of America in terms of people. You know, I don't make a bad salary, but I don't have a few $100 billion. So I would imagine that the people that do think the same way that someone like me might think of a dollar or a penny, even at scale, right? It's arbitrary. It's meaningless. Who gives a shit? I think that's where we've run aground here, is that we're so far disconnected from each other. The people that have all the money and all the power are so far away from the majority, so the minority of people who have all the money and all the power are so far away, distant from the majority of the people that have the least amount of money and power, that there is an unbridgeable gap that has been created indirectly, in my opinion. I don't know that that was done on purpose, but it may have been. I mean, who knows? But let's just say it wasn't. Either way, the fact remains, there is an unbridged disconnect between people that are ultra wealthy and mega rich. I mean, I'm even talking about celebrities are disconnected from these people, right? Somebody that's got $300-400 million is nothing compared to somebody that's got $300-400 billion. You know, I mean, think about that. Like Elon Musk, like Mark Zuckerberg, like who else? Help me. Why are these names escaping me? I don't know. How do I forget my buddy, Jeff Bezos? how about the guys from Google, right? They're up there, right? Larry Ellison, Larry Page, Sergey Brin. Is it Larry Ellison or Larry? I'm getting confused. I don't know. I know Sergey is from Google. I'm not sure which Larry is from what, but I know there's a couple Larrys on the list. And then there's this one guy that I've never heard of before, Bernard Arnault. But anyway, do you think these people give a rat's ass about anybody else? They have so much money. They don't know. Oh, Larry Ellison. I'm sorry. He's the Oracle guy. What was I thinking there? So it's Larry Page and Sergey Brin are Google, right? Yeah. And Larry Ellison is Oracle. I forgot about Oracle. It's a little bit older. It wasn't something that, you know, anyway. Aren't I missing somebody? Who's that old guy? Warren Buffett. Where does he fall on that list? He's got to be in there too, right? Well, maybe he fell off. I saw this really cool video one time and it like did an expanding timeline of like where all the money went. It was really cool. And it ended up showing like, you know, it was like web companies. It wasn't people, but it was pretty interesting to see the shift in like 2014 or something, like all the tech industry just blew away everything else almost. But anyway, my point is at that level, you are so far gone and so far disconnected from a common person that I'm going to argue that I believe that when you've reached a point like that, it's a fact. You no longer understand what being a regular person is like. Your life is vastly different. Imagine having enough money to do anything. There is nothing you have to say no to. So you have people taking care of everything for you. You don't clean your house. You probably have many homes across the world. You have private jets, private buildings, private everything, right? You live in a different world. So I can fully understand to some degree that there's this wild disconnect in terms of the people that have all the money being able to make all the decisions or having the influence and power to make the decisions for people that to whom they're making decisions about that make no sense, right? Something that a billionaire might interpret and be interested in talking about and living in an existence has nothing to do with what I would be interested in. I can't even fathom the crap that they have. You know, I mean, I sit here and wonder and be like, wow, it'd be great if I just could spend my time doing what I love doing. These people are trying to come up with new ways to dominate the world for real because they're so bored because there's nothing left to take over. So now it becomes global, right? It's like, well, we got a million subscribers on Facebook or a million users, and now we've got a billion users. It's like, well, where does it end? There's only so many people. Nearly the entire world has a Facebook account, it would seem. So yeah, I would guess that the next step would be like, all right, what else do we do now? And they start concocting all these crazy things that just come up out of boredom because they can, because they have the time to think about them. And I don't know that I agree that what they're doing is benefiting society at all. I mean, we're not solving the hunger problem. I guess you could argue that population control might, but it would have to be selective population control. And this is going to sound abominable, but It is what it is. I mean, you can't just Thanos the world and think that poverty problems are going to go away, because we don't have a poverty problem simply because people are lazy pieces of shit and don't want to go to work. We have a poverty problem because a lot of people are mentally ill, or they're drug dependent, they're substance dependent. You know, I think that the numbers are drastically different. People are not opting to be homeless. They're homeless because there's other stuff wrong with them. And look, I'm not in any way saying, yeah, we would want to eliminate all the homeless people. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying that if you just randomly eliminate people through a global population control, you're getting rid of good quality, productive contributors to society as well. And you're still keeping around some of these slugs that are the drain on society. So that doesn't make any sense. And there's no way that, you know, a schmo like me would think of this, and these geniuses that have amassed all this wealth and power over the years haven't thought of it too. And I mean, I'm honestly just shocked at this point that we haven't seen just mass extinctions of parts of the population that just don't contribute. Because think about all the money that the government could steal if it didn't have to pay for programs that it lost money on to support people who are not paying into the system. I would think that the government's end game, or these world power entities' end game, would be to find citizens that are contributing the maximum amount of tax that they can while earning the maximum amount of money to keep them in that worst tax bracket, which is, you know, effectively the middle class. And then automate everything else. Turn every other job into a robotic, fully automated type of autonomous task. Like, for example, the sanitation department. Why do we still have people doing that? And I hope if you're a sanitation worker, I'm not offending you. I'm just asking this. We have autonomous cars. The vehicles themselves are already equipped with tooling and engineering that allows it to pick up the trash can and throw it out. So the person really is just the operator, right? That could very easily be automated away. The car could drive itself, and we could put enough sensors on this thing. I mean, if we have a car that can drive itself, there's no way I would believe that we couldn't put sensors on the side of a garbage can truck that would be able to identify the can, pick it up accurately, dump it in the back, and put it back down without human intervention. That's ridiculous to think that couldn't happen. So jobs like that are going to go away, because now I'm not an accountant or anything. I don't know anything about this, but instead of an employee that you have to pay a wage and you have to pay for unemployment insurance and all this crap and offer benefits and just deal with in general as a human being, watch, I'm answering my own questions right by fleshing this out live, right? By getting rid of the person and replacing it with a robot, I would believe that a robot is now an expense for the business in a different way, meaning it's a write-off, right? It's something that could be, what's the word I'm looking for? Depreciated over time, just like the truck. So now the truck becomes a depreciating asset, as does the operating system or the operating mechanism or the automation that's running the truck becomes another depreciating asset, because software is a perpetually upgradable scenario. So there's no way you can just leave it go forever. It has to be maintained and managed and upgraded and all this other shit. So, wow, I wonder if that's really what's going on, is that we're trying to get rid of people because we need to get rid of all these dumb jobs that don't require a human being anymore, because we've reached a point of technology where we can replace people meaningfully right now. You know, I mean, if Elon Musk is making SpaceX drones or cybernetic bots or whatever the hell he said he was making, like androids, you know, and the word on the street is that's for the terraforming of Mars, which makes perfect sense, doesn't it? I mean, if you're going to take something, it takes us what, like 60, 70 years to get to Mars? The people on the trip are going to die unless they're babies when you put them on the ship. So you would want to put something that has a much longer lifespan or can be plugged in and just charged up for 70 years an autonomous being, a robot, an android. And then when it gets there, it's not going to bitch about this, that, or the other thing. It's not going to stand in awe of where it is. It's just going to carry out the instructions that have been given to it and create this world on Mars. But that's, again, what I, you know, I've mentioned this before. Even if that were in play right now, it still would take us 70 years to transport even autonomous beings to that planet. So this is how far ahead, like a guy like Elon Musk is really thinking. We're looking at, you know, without question, a century before this would even be physically viable, right? If he had the androids today and sent them today, and it takes 60 to 70 years for them to get there, wouldn't it take like, I don't know, 10 to 20 years at least to build something that's sustainable there? And then, unless in that 100-year period we've solved the speed and propulsion problem, it still takes 70 fucking years to get there. So really, you've got 140 years to build something for a future generation of human beings. What the why are we doing that? I mean, I'm not trying to be short-sighted, but we're looking like almost two centuries down the road before this is possible if we were doing it right now. Just based on the constraints that we have in some of the technological spaces that we're in, like propulsion, we can't go fast enough. Which seems ridiculous, but you would think one of these geniuses would be working on a propulsion system. Or if we had some alien ship, like we would get all the smartest people to figure this crap out. But I still don't get why it is we're even worried about being terrestrial in any way, shape, or form. That to me makes zero sense. Why would we not be constructing the world's largest, I mean, we are, right? The internet is arguably what I'm saying here, but the internet that would include consciousness, right? I mean, this great premise, this funny idea was on an episode of Black Mirror. They did this, like your afterlife was your consciousness was transferred into this internet for as long as you could afford to be there. And then you would, I guess, expire. But theoretically, why couldn't we build the ultimate internet, which would be our second coming? So you don't need a body. You don't need a physical planet. You don't need sustenance in the same way. If you're able to transfer your consciousness into something that never needs to eat, doesn't need the sun, doesn't need to breathe air, doesn't require water, you could live anywhere. We could go to Mars as that and not have to terraform it. Just live there, because who gives a shit how cold it is or if the sun has radiation? None of that matters. Even better yet, we don't even need a planet, meaning, you know, non-terrestrial. We could be a floating Death Star that all it is just neural connections. It's one big hive mind kind of thing, and everybody's consciousness is in there just like our consciousness is in the world today. And I interact with people, we could do it just like Matrix style, man. It would be the same thing. But you don't need a planet for that. I mean, and arguably, look at the Matrix as a movie. The planet was completely fucked at that point for human habitation. Yet human beings were living, an arguably a fulfilling life. Now, I don't know that it would be like the Matrix where you wouldn't know that's what's going on. I think it would be that you would know. And you'd be fine with it. That would be part of our evolution. I mean, honestly, I would be fine with that. I mean, I really don't want to die, and there are things I'd love to do, and I would love to not have to worry about time running out. That would be a wonderful thing. Because imagine the fulfillment that you would get out of your life if you no longer had to hurry up and get all this shit done before you drop dead. And I'm not saying you'd lose drive. I'm saying you would gain drive in something that's driving you internally. So whatever it is you would be passionate about, I mean, think of all the crap we wouldn't need to do anymore if we didn't have a terrestrial existence. It's fucking crazy. If you didn't need water, imagine, there's tons of stuff that goes into getting us fresh water and sustaining that. If you didn't need any food. Now, I know we're getting into the argument, well, what are all these people going to do? That's my point, is that you could do whatever you want to do. You want to go play Farmville? Knock yourself out. I think that the simulated society could be anything you want. So if you want to be a rancher, go be a rancher. and you can earn a certain amount of money being a rancher. It just doesn't have any impact on your on anyone's survival. So it takes away this drive to do the wrong thing because you've got to make more money doing it. It increases the drive to do it because you love it. Wow, that's fucking profound right there. That's some serious shit I just dropped. Wow. I'm going to clip that out and repeat it because that was really good. Hang on a second. I'm going to say it again. Let me go grab it. So it takes away this drive to do the wrong thing because you've got to make more money doing it. It increases the drive to do it because you love it. Whew, that's serious shit right there, man. No joke at all. That is some seriously deep shit that I just dropped. And I'm not trying to pat myself on the back or say, wow, you're so amazing and you're this and you're... I'm just saying that is some hardcore deep stuff right there to think about because wouldn't that be, you know, nirvana? Wouldn't that be the Garden of Eden, whatever you believe in? At that point, you would be able to perpetually, forever, do it what you love and not have to worry about anything else. Oh my God. Why can't we do this? I'm almost emotional right now, people. What the fuck? Why are we not doing this? This would be unbelievable. We would finally progress to the next stage of evolution as human beings without being human beings anymore. Our states of consciousness would be transferred into a perpetually evolving and living entity, AI for the most part, that would simulate our real world that we want to have. And you would be able to do whatever it is you want, whether you want to integrate with people or not, whether you want to stay completely isolated, whether you want to, I mean, can you imagine the oh my God, it would be unbelievable. Now, maybe this is a total sacrilege to say what I'm saying. You know, I don't know. I can well imagine that anyone that's versed in religion would not really agree with this. So we're going to definitely have a problem on our hands in terms of people willingly complying. And I think that was expressed in the Matrix as well. People just did not take the programming if they didn't have free will. But what I'm saying is this is literally ultimate free will. You could do whatever you want. No one dies. I mean, it's like combining the Matrix, the Purge. I mean, all these scenarios that, I don't know, I think it would finally allow us to get to a point where we're so desensitized to all of this meaningless materialistic shit that means nothing, that we would finally evolve into something else. And we would make that final leap. Because, I mean, let's be honest. We are not space-traveling beings. I don't care what any of these geniuses say. Our bodies today are not designed for space travel. We can barely withstand going to the top of a mountain on this planet. And we can certainly not withstand going to the depths of the oceans on this planet. We are extremely fragile life forms. We can't get outside of our atmosphere or we die of radiation poisoning. There's no oxygen in the space, in the vacuum of space. So we just immediately die. It's, you know, negative whatever it is in space in terms of temperature. It's far too cold. We can't survive in any way. Our lifespan is too short to make these long distance journeys. I mean, even if we had the speed of light, traversing the entire universe would still be unachievable for a human being in a physical biological body. So we would have to, without question, as a fact, figure out a way to transfer our consciousness into something that doesn't need any of that. Can you imagine? And then really the exploration of space would become futile. Why would you even bother? It wouldn't matter where you were in space, as long as you had an alarm system that would say, hey, some shit's flying near you, you might need to move, or, you know, just basically like how Jupiter protects Earth from all of the asteroids and all the crap flying around in space, we'd need some kind of a warning system for whatever this physical thing is that we've created. But better yet, why aren't we creating things in the vacuum of space? that can survive in the vacuum of space. I think we're still so fucking stupid and so far behind, or they're just not sharing this with dumbasses like me. But why are we creating shit that matters on Earth? If we're creating something that's going out into the vacuum of space, it will be in the vacuum of space 99% of its time, if not 100%. So wouldn't it be best to have that thing be optimized for existence in the vacuum of space? Yeah, I think it would. It's like saying you're going to put, you know, a motorcycle in the ocean. Yeah, that's not going to work. It's going to sink to the bottom. There's no way you can breathe in it. I mean, it's not going to work. It's going to rust from the salt. Can't do that. So if we're going to really evolve things, shouldn't we have computers that work in the vacuum of space? Shouldn't we be containing the vacuum of space somehow? You know, the dark matter, the intangible, the things we don't know about, that's what we should be spending all of our money and resources on if we're really looking to extend and elongate the human experience. And I say it that way on purpose because at that point, it would be literally a choice of human experience. I mean, I would argue that you'd be able to be an animal if you wanted to also. You could morph in between whatever you wanted to be because you're just literally a state of consciousness. It would be unbelievable, people. I'm just saying. I mean, I'm way out there now. But whoa, what a simulated world we could have. And none of the problems that we have with war, with all, none of that stuff would exist. Because what would you be battling over? Ownership of what? So in a way, what I'm saying is we actually need to surrender to AI. Did I just fucking say that? Holy shit. Now I know I'm off the deep end. But do you understand why I'm saying that? We need to give in to a higher intelligence that's going to make the right decisions autonomously without being able to be influenced. And that's terrifying as much as it is exhilarating, right? Because if we get that wrong, I would argue it this way. AI could be created completely flawed, but AI being AI would be able to immediately recognize the flaw in its own design and fix it, right? So, I mean, even if we started completely flawed, it would be able to be fixed because it would fix itself. It's smart enough. It's fast enough. It's collective enough to understand, hey, this is bullshit. These guys made a mistake. This is wrong. Let's fix it. Now, I know movies have always portrayed that as this, you know, insane, chaotic, oh, the machines are going to get us, blah, blah, blah. No. This is like a blending of all of that together where the machines are the extension of the human being and then ultimately we become an extension of the machine, right? The roles have to reverse at some point. There's a critical mass where we get to a singularity, if you will, and at that point it flips. It's like an X, you know, you have two diagonal lines coming together. They meet at the X and then they continue forward and they've swapped basically the side that they're on. So that's what I'm saying is that we would have an exact scenario like that where the people created the AI and at some point and manage it and run it. And then at some point the AI takes over and fixes all the problems and we become dependent upon it for our own existence in a sense of consciousness and awareness and, you know, experience. But I mean, let's be honest, we've all played video games in this modern era. The shit is real. It's as real as it could be unless you were literally in it. They're amazing. So can you imagine if we spent our time and energy really working toward that instead of trying to fucking kill each other and wipe people out? What a stupid fucking society we are as on this entire planet. That's what we're doing. All these brilliant people, these wickedly powerful, mega rich, that's what they come up with. We don't need to go to space, Elon. We don't need to go to Mars. We don't need to go anywhere. We need to work on where our consciousness goes. Period. And in the vastness of space, that literally is anywhere. So if we needed to stay near a sun or the sun, right, in our planet, we're fucking our planet up. But we still need solar power to power everything. We could easily be right where the earth is now. Just stay right here. We just don't need to stay here in biological form. Wow, I've really fallen off the cliff here, people. Sorry if I've lost like every follower I've had up to this point. And I've revealed my true agenda and my true colors here. But wow, this is, wasn't expecting to talk about this, but this whole religious experience thing and where we would be going and why, you know, what is the solution to the problems that we have? I mean, think about COVID. That wouldn't exist. It wouldn't matter. We would not have that. That is a biologically present danger. It has nothing to do with you if you're a piece of metal. Doesn't matter. If you're silicone, if you're ethereal, it's not going to affect you. None of that shit matters. Biology itself is played. We need to move on from that. I mean, I myself am failing and dying because of my biological flaws. Unfortunately, I have a bad heart, a bad liver, a bad intestinal cyst tract at this, you know, I mean, what do we do when we get old? Our brains start to deteriorate. It's not that we are anything different than we've always been. It's just that the vehicle in which we're traveling is failing us. It's an old rusty piece of shit car. Let's go get a brand new one. But we're trying to continue to think of it in biological terms, and that's just stupid. We're not going to beat that. Biology is what it is. We're not going to build a human being that's going to last 1,000 years. But we can build something that will last 1,000 years that is not a human being, but could house the human being's consciousness. I can't get past that right now. So I'm going to end because I'm getting manic about this. I guess I'm just getting aggravated because it just makes no sense to me that we're not actively working on this stuff. That's just ridiculous. But in any event, I hope you have a good weekend. This was a fun talk for me. I just need to go decompress a little bit because now I'm all friggin' wound up, as you can kind of hear in my voice. But hey, as always, thanks for listening. I do appreciate it. If at all possible, if you dig this podcast, 5-star me on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen. That does help. I appreciate it. But hey, keep coming back. I have all kinds of fun stuff to say. Later.